like, I want to be Yoshi. I'm like, okay, you're Yoshi. And she loved Yoshi since she was, like, very small. Yoshi's her favorite Mario character.
Welcome to the Super Mario Brothers Minute. I'm Emily.
I'm Andrew.
This is the show where we watch the... Sorry, our guest.
No, it's okay.
I was going to bring you in.
Bring me in.
This is the show where we watch the Super Mario Brothers movie minute by minute, and we watch each minute the number of times that it is. Today we watch minute 29, 29 times. And we are very honored to have a special guest with us today from the Midnight Marinara podcast. He's looking over. Something's happening. Someone's behind us.
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Also, I think there's a cooking action happening.
Yeah, we're preparing for we're preparing a lunch because you know I am David King Soros Munchakoopas.
That's your name.
That's
correct.
My name.
Yes.
Don't wear it out. Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me on your show about Mario. Time.
Thank you for being on.
Do the Mario. It's the Mario.
Yeah.
Was that a little Lou Albano for us? Is that what you're doing right
no,
now?
No. Sort of. That's a weird in joke. Let me play my cell phone ringtone for you later.
Okay.
There's this weird in joke involving Vine Sauce and the way he deliberately mispronounces Mario. At one point, he's just like, "Oh, Mario. Look, it's the Mario."
Cool. Also, I would like to say hello to any people who may have followed us here from the James Bonding podcast. Which I believe the episode I was on just dropped today. They have a much bigger audience than I do, so hello to any James Bond fans who are listening. We do not talk about James Bond here. We talk about Mario.
Is there a crossover appeal between James Bond fans and Super Mario fans?
I mean, I was on both podcasts.
Oh, there you
is
go.
Is the connection.
I also right. enjoyed both.
And I plugged
Emily them. Is the connecting element both. Between yeah. these shows. Okay, yeah. I see. All right, fair enough.
So, David, not only do you have a very great, couple of podcasts at this point, but I think you were the first person, if not one of the first, to send us some kind of message berating us for not remembering the Koopa Kids were in, Super Mario 3 or whatever.
Well, I mean, okay, I mean, it's an easy mistake to make, because, like, the Koopalings at this point have been in, like, a ton of Mario games.
Well, they disappeared for a while, and then they came back.
And they also disappeared during the era that I grew up in,
right.
which made it very confusing.
Which is unfortunate, because, like, I grew up playing, like, one of the first video game I ever played, like, for any length of time was actually Super Mario All-Stars for the Super Nintendo.
Right.
So I have very fond memories of that, especially Mario 3, and it came with Mario World, so I knew the Koopalings growing up, and they were fascinating to me because they were like Bowser's kids. And I was like, wow, okay. Now, that has since been retconned, apparently.
What are they now? Just Bowser's friends?
They're Bowser's henchmen?
Yeah.
I believe the way I want to interpret it...
But that... Okay, yeah. You still, do your theory, because I have my theory as well.
Yeah. The way I interpret it is that either Bowser, like, disowned them because they were bad at their jobs, or once Bowser Jr. was born, or that they're all adopted children, and Bowser Jr. is the only biological child of Bowser's.
That makes sense.
Or they could be both, because he's like, I only adopted you guys, you're terrible kids, because I can't imagine that Bowser is the only Koopa that looks like... You know, the only Koopa of his species
that looks like Bowser.
Like a crazy dragon turtle man.
Yeah.
And like the Koopalings are all him, just smaller and with different weird crazy hair.
Yeah. So yeah, my theory is it's sort of like an old-timey joke of like how the kids look like the milkman, and in this scenario Bowser is the milkman. Like there's some normal-looking Koopa couple out there raising the Koopalings, and the husband does not realize that these are clearly not his kids.
Did you hear the crazy theory, though? This is one that I've thought of, that Yoshis and Koopas have a shared common ancestor.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they both have shells. They both wear shoes organically.
Yes.
Except it does seem a little crazy and weird that Yoshis would eat Koopas, but then again...
We eat chimpanzees. It's not that weird.
Oh, monkeys' brains are found in
chimpanzees.
You don't eat chimpanzees?
No!
Well, monkeys' brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not commonly found in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this minute.
Yeah, we gotta...
Because this minute starts with a plumber alert.
Plumber alert.
This is a very interesting minute, I would say.
Yes.
This is one of those slippery minutes where if you hadn't been watching the film minute by minute like we have, or if you hadn't seen the film before, it would make no sense. Because it's a lot of different pieces that sort of got... You know, they just happen to be in this minute.
Yeah.
It's a very odd one.
Yeah, the last minute was part of like kind of a big info dump of Koopa explaining his evil plan and then meeting up with Iggy and Spike, who say, "Oh, we got the princess, but not the rock." Yeah. Who's got the rock? The plumbers. Plumber alert. Like that's
yes.
This is where we are, and now we're kind of catching up with.
And that's all we get from Koopa in this scene is plumber alert.
Is Iggy the only Koopaling reference we've gotten so far?
I believe so.
Okay, because yeah. I'm...
Well, Iggy and Spike are both cousins of King Koopa.
Right, I remember this. Yeah. I remember this from the strange lore of this universe that has little to nothing to do with the Super Mario lore. And I'm okay with that. I wanted to say, like, real quick, that my relationship with this movie is... I liked it when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like it for a period, and now I really like it again.
That's, I think, a lot of people's journey with the film.
Yeah. Because, like... A lot of people are stuck in that middle part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're here to get them out.
Yeah.
Well, you just got to accept that it's a weird, good, fun...
Good.
I would almost say, like...
Very good.
Well acted. It's
like, yeah. Actually, you know, surprisingly, watching this minute with you guys has put a lot of this back into perspective with me.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, anyway, it's just, it's interesting, because I think as a kid, I didn't really care that it was not, but then as I got older, I'm like, yeah, but this movie is the reason we don't get a more accurate, like, Super Mario canon movie with the actual lore. I want an animated Super Mario Brothers movie.
Have you seen the Japanese animated film from
86? I have, actually. It's not bad.
Yeah, we're going to watch that for an upcoming Patreon episode. Spoiler alert.
Can I subscribe
to the Patreon to hear that.
Can I join you?
Perhaps. We don't know exactly when we're going to do it.
No, we have no idea.
We will keep you.
Please do. Yeah. Okay.
So this minute starts with... in Koopa's, like, office lair, whatever.
Yeah.
He says plumber alert and points. And Fiona Shaw's character immediately, like, gets up and goes to the computer.
Do we still not know her name
within the minutes that we watched, we do not know her name.
Okay.
Well, just a side note for listeners, at this point, we have gone to the rooftop screening. It was great fun.
We should do a mini episode that's just our reaction to the rooftop screening.
Well, we should have done that
already. We can still do it. It's not too late.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. We have a minute in the present.
So now we both have a very strong and clear idea of the entire movie because we've seen it extremely recently.
Yes,
the entire thing. And I have to tell you, David, when we got to this minute in the movie, watching it with a group, it was like shocking to both of us how quick we got there.
Yeah, you can get through this movie really fast when you only watch each minute once. That is something we learned.
It's like being stuck in a time loop or something,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
like
it's beautiful time
enjoyable
loop.
Time loop.
Yeah. Oh no! Trust
like a,
me,
like
I'm
a
enjoy-
warm jacuzzi that time
I'm,
loop.
I'm definitely starting to understand what the appeal of this now, having sat with you through the whole duration of the previous minute.
Yeah,
so
like, other minute podcasts don't watch the number of times that.
Well,
it
see,
is,
they,
but
there's your, there's
out.
Your gimmick. There's where you. There's where
That's
you.
That's where we excel.
This is where everybody fortifies.
Yeah,
this is where your niche is.
We did get an answer to something we had wondered about in a previous minute. We wonder
in
what
this
the
minute?
Yes.
Oh, what the computer's for?
We wonder what that computer
it's
was for.
It's for plumber alerts.
Yes, it's for plumber alerts.
Now, do you think that specifically it's only for plumber alerts, or do you think he has other alerts?
I think he has other alerts.
Do you think he's said this before? Like he's like, oh, carpenter alert. Like
I think there's been a time. Hi, Gracie. You're very beautiful. I think there's been a time when he couldn't find the phone, and he's just, as we see later, he's enthusiastic about pizza in the film.
Yes.
I think there's been a time probably when he's been unable to find the phone and just called out a pizza alert.
Pizza
oh,
alert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
I think it's for any kind of alert.
So the scene transitions. We're going to go catch up with what Mario and Luigi are doing outside.
Mm-hmm.
There's an overhead, like, announcement.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like a radio DJ type voice. Because he's
That's right. The Koopa Man has put out an alert for a couple of plumbers, and there's a 2,000 gold Koopa coin reward. Sounds like he's got a spirited plumbing problem. Something along
serious,
those lines.
Yeah.
Serious
is
problem.
What I heard.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was pretty perfect.
That was very
David.
Good, yeah.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Was it serious? I heard spirited.
I always heard serious. I had never heard spirited until you
weird.
Said
I heard
no.
spirited.
And see, these are the things that happen when you watch a minute 29 times.
Yeah.
Is roads diverge in people's
yeah.
I was also
yeah.
curious at one point if I was hearing gold Koopa coins or cold Koopa coins.
I
like
heard
cold
gold
cash.
For sure.
I definitely heard gold.
I heard
Koopa
gold
coins.
Most of the time.
There's a lot of. I noticed in this minute, there's a lot of things to hear that are just kind of. And I've noticed this is true about the movie in general, from what I remember. There are parts in the background that sound interesting, but you'd never get like
well,
everything's just
a
little.
It's a rich world where they're.
No, it is.
Yes,
it is
a very rich
but there's
world.
Lots. There's. Surface. I mean, it's even with some of the main people on screen dialogue, as we'll express a little later. Yeah. It's only after watching this minute 29 times that I finally got a sense of what a certain character was saying, but we'll get to that.
So the camera kind of zooms in a street level again, or it's like the level above street level, the walkway. There's a food cart, and it just says Beans on the side, but with an E, like it's a name?
Yeah, there's apostrophe S, Beans.
This food cart was also where I noticed my first continuity error of this minute.
Oh!
I caught two in the minute. I don't know if you guys...
I saw it too, actually, but it was only toward the end, because... Because I thought when I realized it, like, man, this shot's not framed anywhere, because you see Mario and Luigi come in from the left side of the screen toward the cart. Then you get a close-up of the food.
The other side of the cart. Oh, the cart. Yeah,
and then you get the cart, the guy, then you get an angle shot of the cart from, like, above, but to the side.
Yeah.
And then it, for, like, a few seconds, then it cuts back, and they're back in the same position they were before, kind of walking by the cart.
I'm actually not even talking about that.
No, really?
I'm talking about the guy working the food cart. When he's making the food, he's facing the food cart.
And
then when it cuts to him with the food, he is facing away from the food cart.
And he also like shifts positions, because like one point he's behind the food cart, and then another point he's in front of the food
he
cart.
Shifts.
Okay. Moving. You're right.
Well, it's instantaneous. If he's moving, he's teleporting.
He's good very eye, fast. Good eye. Very fast food man.
It's very fast food. I mean,
it's very fast.
It's extremely fast food. Now, that's a good joke, David.
Do you?
It is lizards or greeners.
Well, let's talk.
Well, okay. First, I want to talk about Beans, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, Emily, I don't know if you ever played Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, but David, I think, knows where I'm going with this. The Mario brothers go to the Bean Kingdom, right? Is that what it's called?
The Bean Bean Kingdom.
The Bean Bean Kingdom.
The Bean Bean.
Where instead of things based on mushrooms, it's based on beans.
Yeah, it's the Mushroom Kingdom's closest neighbor. Yeah. It's like actually the bordering kingdom to the
this
Mushroom Kingdom.
Sounds like the story that Luigi tells in
I believe it's connected.
I remember he went to the Waffle Kingdom.
Yeah, Waffle Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah. I love the Paper Mario games.
They're very good.
But I mean, this was so far before it's Mario and
Superstar
Saga.
No, of course. But like,
there's no way. But I do like this idea that Beans is in here.
Yeah.
So what What is this man saying? What is the food?
Well, fried greeners.
I heard fried greeners.
I have two theories.
Okay, I have a theory as well.
My two theories is okay. If it is fried greener that he's saying,
yeah,
this is playing off the idea of a hot dog is called a red hot. So hot, okay. Red and green.
Interesting.
Or we're hearing him wrong, and he's actually saying creeter. Like critter.
That's interesting.
Fried creeters.
I don't subscribe to your second theory. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Maybe I'm thinking greener, because I, not long ago, just watched the rather fantastic B-movie, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yeah.
And the frog people in the movie are referred to as greeners.
Yeah, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper,
that's
who we will see soon on our Patreon episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that but the crazy thing about that is, like, just thinking to myself, do you think, it's like, were they aware of that?
Yeah.
Because that would be amazing if that's, like, just a little nod
crossover,
to Hell Comes to Frogtown.
So he's offering two things. He says 20 was for a fried greener, or hey, this was what I heard. I don't know if you heard the same thing. I hear him say 20 for a fried greener, or hey, do you like Little Wigglers?
I heard Little 15. Wigglers, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That ties into the taxi ad for Wiggler.
Yeah. Well, Wiggler seemed to be... Wigglers are in the Mario universe. They're very large creatures. They're bigger than Mario.
Yeah. But in this world, any size...
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
I thought Little Wigglers was like him saying like a brand name. Like, hey, you like Little Wigglers? Like, you're going to like what I'm selling.
Interesting.
And then he says 15. I didn't catch a 15, but now that I'm thinking about it, he says 15. Like, he's trying to convince them to buy his greener dog or whatever he's selling, creeter or his creeter dog.
Okay, well, let's get into the really important question.
Before you get to that, though, I settle something that happened in an earlier minute that we theorized on but is clearly not true?
Okay, go ahead.
In this world, they have buns.
Yes, yes. So
Iggy and Spike, in an earlier minute,
preach.
They got hot dogs, and then
in the real world,
in Manhattan.
Yeah,
then when Spike came into the car and handed Iggy his dog, he said they call these dogs.
Dog. Yeah.
He peels off the bun,
they both
throw their buns out the window and eat the meat
if they didn't understand what the bun was.
And in this,
but clearly they do.
Clearly there are buns in this universe.
Yeah.
Maybe Iggy and Spike are just so dumb that they don't like their.
Or
buns.
Maybe I have a theory.
Uh huh.
Maybe here buns are not treated as food. Maybe here buns are just...
That's true.
To hold the food.
That's true.
Or maybe they need to make sure their food is gluten-free, Iggy and Spike.
maybe they have...
I mean,
what's it called?
It could be an allergy thing.
Yeah.
But also, before you get to your question, I want to note that this that Beans, the hot dog, little greeners, whatever, man, he's not wearing gloves. He's wearing fingertip gloves.
He's wearing fingertip gloves that are like maybe rubber or maybe like latex. They look like shiny black latex.
Very odd.
Which something about this movie that we learned when we watched it in the hole is that it's very horny.
Yes. Well, I mean,
and so any appearance of latex immediately makes me think like,
well, I mean,
what's up? Lots of characters wear latex in this movie.
I mean, you guys noticed the two dudes in the background. So there's this when they first establish a shot. Yeah. There's the zoom in on the city. Mm-hmm. There's a zoom in on a random. There's a fade to another section of city. Mm-hmm. Then there's finally a fade on Bean's hot dog cart as it zooms in, and it's zooming through the city as it's doing this like announcement. And in the background of that first establishing shot, you see a woman in like a Cruella de Vil looking like spotted like coat.
Yeah, like black and white spotted.
Black and white spotted coat. And she's talking to these two guys. And then as the, before it transitions, she starts to like take the coat off in a fairly sensual manner. And she's wearing this black dress underneath. And I'm like, is she propositioning? Is she being propositioned by these two gentlemen?
I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
Or like, This is very interesting. This is just happening in the background of this minute, and I never would have caught it if we hadn't watched it 29 times.
Can we get to the important
question? Yeah, ask your important question.
Okay, so to describe the food again, because I don't know if we have clearly. It's three little sort of lizards on a skewer that are then put into a hot dog bun.
It's a greener kebab.
Yeah, but not the kebab, because the stick is removed.
Folds the bun over and pulls the stick out, the skewer out.
My question is for both of you, would you eat this creation?
Yes.
No.
It is a firm no. David's an enthusiast.
I'm hungry right now. I mean, that's the reason you might have heard an oven go off in the background. Yeah. When we're loading up the next minute, I'm probably going to put some food in, but not right now. There's so much to talk about in this minute. This minute is so good, you guys.
I would definitely eat the little greeners, too. I'm glad that you and I are on the same page,
I would
David.
Totally...
You should ask David your other question,
though. I will try anything once.
Well, here's what appeals to me about the little greeners. The sound they make when they go into the bun is very appealing.
That crunchy noise? That kind of waxy, crunchy noise?
Yes, it sounds like there would be a good crunch to them. I get the sense with these little lizards that the taste and mouthfeel is going to be 100% crunch with just meat inside, and that's a really good experience.
Mm-hmm. Now you're describing something that I could get into, but the look of them is
you just gotta get past.
Well, it's like sounds better than like eating like. See, when I remember this minute, I didn't remember it being lizards. I remember it being like big cockroaches or something. Yeah. So actually, this is a step up.
Yeah,
I like it's anybody who eats like deep fried Jerusalem crickets, which are like a real thing that you can get.
Hmm. I have a follow up question for you, David. I don't want to spend too much time because this is already clearly going to be a long episode.
This is going to be a good minute. Minute long.
David, would you eat the fungus?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about that after I listened to the episode, and I'm going to have to say no.
Thank you, David.
I'm going to find someone. This is going to be a question we ask every guest. I'm going to find someone to eat the fungus.
Okay, wait. I have to ask, Emily. Like, so, would you eat the fungus in any consistency, or does the consistency of the fungus matter? Because sometimes you see it and it looks like cheesecloth that's just like thrown over things, and other times it's like really slimy.
The consistency for sure matters.
So which would you prefer?
The
cheesecloth?
The cheesecloth one.
Okay, see, I would probably try the dry cheesecloth.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing with it. I'm cutting a bit of it off. I'm taking it home. I'm washing it off. and then I'm throwing it in a pan with a little bit of olive oil and frying it up real nice, and I think that would be very good.
Having watched the whole movie again, though, recently, and knowing what the fungus actually is, would you still eat it?
Well, no, because I know it's a person. But if I was just a resident of Mushroom Kingdom and I didn't necessarily know that, I would for sure, as I said previously, party down on some fungus.
That's fair.
So Mario and Luigi, they're walking past. Mario remarks on the food. He's like, oh, if we're going to eat here, we better be really hungry.
Yeah.
Then Luigi immediately approaches just some lady going, and Miss Lady, is what he says to her.
Luigi says it. Is extremely childlike in this minute.
Excuse me, Miss Lady.
He's a pure
child.
Yeah, Luigi is very much like a little kid.
He asks, can you tell us where we are? And she says, you're in my way, and pushes both Mario and Luigi out of the way.
And during that push, as I revealed to you, we get a nice little cameo from Napoleon Dynamite's grandmother on the left side.
Yeah, for those of you watching at home, bottom left corner.
Yeah, bottom left corner, check out Napoleon Dynamite's grandma.
I was more distracted by the person with like the beehive hair.
Yeah.
Who's right behind them when that happens.
Yes.
And whoever this is, they step aside looking a little surprised and they keep going. And I wouldn't have noticed it except, like, very expressive face and like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who stand out in this crowd because right before that, too, we get someone who looks a lot like Freddie Mercury, as you observed. And then there's also someone who we never quite see their face, but based on the bit of beard and hair we see, they look to me like the Gorton's fishermen.
Yes.
Except for the fact that they are wearing a sideways leather baseball hat.
Yes. Yes.
Which is sort of like a cool hip Gorton's fisherman.
There's also a dude with a bandana on that I swear is just a pirate dislocated to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Well, we talked about how there was one kid who, what did I say he was in a previous minute?
Oh, God. I don't recall.
Oh, the kid, there's a ska. There's just a ska.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the one that the cop picks up.
Yeah, the one that the cop picks up in a previous minute was clearly just a ska fan from our world.
He just got out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, there's one other thing I want to talk about people in the crowd before we move on.
Okay.
I believe I did see someone in this world in, like, camo gear. Camouflage.
Okay.
Now, having seen the whole film, we know the whole geography of this dimension, the planet. It is city and desert, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how effective that camo is going to be because there's a lot of like green on it.
It used to not be a desert. Wasn't that part of the interpretation?
I mean, 65 million years ago, it used to not be a desert.
Yeah.
When the dinos ruled the Earth before the meteorite hit.
Before the
Are you suggesting that it's leftover camouflage gear from 65 million years ago when the dinos had it good?
No.
There could be.
It's
from
his great-great-great-grandfather.
It's been established that there's a link between these two worlds, so maybe people
into.
Maybe there's black market, like, maybe there's trade goods that you could get in the other dimension.
Maybe that kid found some ska tapes.
Maybe
he found some real big fish albums.
As we go through this film, we'll see that it's very uneven on explaining how and when you can go through the portal.
Yeah.
Right.
It seemed like there was a very hard, this is how and why you can go through the portal, but then it doesn't make a lot of sense how Iggy and Spike are doing it, so...
They do it a lot. And, you know, it's never clearly established what,
What's the barrier deal? For entry? Like, what... What unlocks the wall? There is one last person.
In on the wall?
There's one last person I want to point out in the background of the very beginning, the first time you see Beans.
Yes.
Okay.
There is someone standing in the background near what David described as the polka dot jacket woman taking off her jacket. Near her, there is a person with their back to the camera wearing a jean vest or jacket. And on the back of that jean vest jacket is Taz the Tasmanian Devil.
I never saw that.
So clear to me.
Yeah.
And it's so weird that that got through.
What if Taz is a real person in this dimension?
I don't know if I can handle that.
And the Looney Tune character was like some the construction worker we saw in Mysterious Worlds, someone who wound up in another dimension for a minute and met Taz and then came back to the real world and was like, I got an idea for a cartoon.
I was in another dimension and Brendan Fraser was there for some reason.
Yeah. Let's move on.
So this lady that pushes Mario and Luigi out of the way.
Oh, yes.
She calls them something.
Yeah, to me it's very unambiguous.
It's very unambiguous. So
what does she call them?
1, 2, 3,
Eggsucker. That was
They did that
David.
To be facetious.
Thank you, David.
That was a joke.
You did that to be facetious.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
She calls them egg suckers.
I heard big suckers.
Big sucker?
Yeah.
See eggs where there are actually skulls. You're not hearing eggs when there was definitely an egg.
The reason this movie has such an appeal is for some reason got an ambiguity even when it's not being ambiguous.
Yeah.
You can literally interpret anything.
Okay, so you accept egg sucker here.
Yes.
But you don't accept that literal eggs were sucked.
No, because egg sucker is an insult. So why would Fiona Shaw's character be sucking
because
eggs?
Because it's what animals do.
No.
And she came from one of those animals.
This is a savage world where they eat little skulls for snacks.
Clearly people eat eggs. I mean, there was that stroller that would be egg snatcher.
Your interpretation was that they wanted to eat the egg?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Actually, I interpreted that as well. Yeah.
Or maybe they want to sell the egg.
I thought they wanted to sell
it
on the black market.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my interpretation.
I'm sorry.
I mostly took it for eating.
That's a different minute. Let's carry on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so after she pushes them out of the way, Mario remarks, who are these people?
Oh.
And then there's an old lady.
Yes.
Did anyone notice the weird fashion accessory on the woman that pushed them? She has this little round this little round tiny hat, like yeah. like a fancy hat with even a little plumed purple feather on it, yeah. but it's like on the side of her head, and it's so small that if it was on top of her head, it would look ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just wearing it on the side. It was a good look.
No, it was a good look. It's just such an interesting thing. World, she's like, wearing like leather, and she's got yeah. like almost like a cool greaser look to her.
Yeah,
and she's got this like little tiny Victorian hat on the side of her head.
There's
like
the fashion in this movie is good as hell.
Rockabilly, cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Ska. That's the.
Well, Ska was just that one kid, I would say. I didn't see much of a Ska.
It's literally like just like a sci-fi hodgepodge is yeah. this universe, I feel like. 80s sci-fi hodgepodge.
Oh. Someone is calling David on the phone.
From Atlanta, like? Georgia. Yeah, this is what I was talking about. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm not nice. Taking a call from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know anyone in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
So the old lady, she's wearing like a blue coat, overcoat. Yes. Kind of like...
Pearls.
Yeah, exaggerated pearls. Yeah. I feel like they're either not real or...
This is a sort of classic cartoon old lady.
And the big kind of poofy hair. Yeah.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've looked after her a little bit, watching her, looking at her actions, like old Wilma Flintstone.
Yeah, I can see that.
Think of the pearls. Yeah. I'm like...
Her color scheme is more Betty. Yeah.
It's more Betty, but she's like...
As a person,
I'm definitely bubble. Getting a Bedrock vibe, which yeah. is fitting because we're in Dino Hatton.
Yeah.
So...
So she asked them, are you boys new in town?
Yeah.
To which there's... this is... I kind of want to make this a segment of Spot the ADR.
Yeah.
We see Mario's back, and we yeah. hear him say... We're looking for someone, and then we see his face, and he says, we're from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Clearly two different lines stitched together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This scene was also where I noticed the second continuity error in the film,
uh-huh.
which is that Luigi's demeanor varies greatly depending on whether we're seeing him from behind or in front.
Oh.
His posture, the look on his face, everything changes from shot to shot.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Maybe we're thinking of different continuity errors, because I was more distracted by the fact that you see a certain character to the left of the
old lady. Well, yes, we will get to that. This is a big...
yeah.
This is the first appearance of a character that I love. Mm-hmm. This is a point of contention for some people in the film, I think. Should we just say it?
I mean, she's coming in the next minute.
Yeah.
We can introduce her in the next minute, probably.
But Big Bertha is in the background of
it's
this scene.
It's Big Bertha.
And it's very exciting.
I was trying to figure out if that was supposed to be
It's definitely her. Big Bertha.
Okay.
Who is, fun fact, let's see if you guys know this, named after...
I don't know.
The big fish in Super Mario Bros. 3 that jumps out of the water and eats you.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
She's based on, well, I don't know if she's based on, but that's where her name comes from.
We'll have a more in-depth Big Bertha discussion.
We'll talk about that.
To remark that this is the first appearance of Big Bertha on
and
the
it's
show.
Just like her from behind.
We
off
already
to the
seen
left.
Her amazing great outfit.
Yeah, the jacket. I was like, this is her jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you interpret that as a jacket.
Whatever it
well,
is.
Well, it even evokes because there was a big red scary fish in the game. Yeah. And it's.
We will talk about this on the next minute.
Death.
For sure.
Well, she's there. She's in a minute.
I know.
So this,
but this we're already at a half hour. This is normally a 20 minute show.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
This
sorry.
Old lady kind of seems to be saying, oh, you know, that's not a nice neighborhood. We got to be safe here. Do you have a weapon? They say no. And
well, I don't want to just breeze by that. Because okay. the way Luigi says no is the most innocent, naive line read I've ever heard in my life. This is continuing the fact that Luigi is inexplicably an 8 years old child in this minute. Because he's no. He's so sweet and just so innocent and dumb when he says that because we know what's about to happen.
Yeah. And so the way that this old lady also reacts is very good. I think so, because she goes, all right.
She's like, we can tell something's going on here.
Yeah.
When we watched this at the outdoor screening, I thought she was going to try to sell them weapons.
Yeah, I had a kind of a memory of that as well.
Yeah.
And so what happens next was shocking to me and Mario.
Yes.
Well, she's kind of, if she could be trying to sell them a weapon by demonstrating how lethal it is.
Yeah.
Well, but how are they going to buy weapons if they give her all their Koopa coins?
Yeah, she pulls out a weapon. And yells, get him up, suckers, and uses the weapon on Mario.
Yeah.
What is either of you two's interpretation of this weapon, what it does, and how
it
works?
It's a sort of low-level taser.
It's like a taser and a turkey baster.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Like an electric prod, like you see sometimes.
Yeah, it's like a crazy cattle prod. She probably had it on a low setting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just to, like, threaten.
Because I think we see it used later in the film as well.
It's weird to me that you say, times. I think we see it used a lot later in the film. This is the only weapon we see in the film.
I thought
unless you count the de-evolution rays as weapons.
I'm counting the fire things.
And I guess the bombs.
The flamethrowers are most of what I remember.
Yeah. We see this one a lot.
Okay. Because this shocking weapon seems, and also the way that it's kind of shaped and seems to have, it has like a loose power cord on it. It seems just so impractical and strange if it is a low level taser.
Yeah. She should have pulled out a super scope. That would have been hilarious.
Well,
they were saving that for the sequel.
Okay, right. That's right. But yeah, she. I wanted to say in this bit. She says something that's kind of obscured by Mario's reaction in the taser, but she's something Koopa coins. I need Koopa coins, you lamos.
Yes.
She just says, get them up, suckers. I need Koopa coins. And
you lamos. I need Koopa coins.
Well, lamos is the last.
Lamos is cut off because it's really you lamos.
It's more like lamo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was so funny is it would loop right back around to Plumber Alert.
Yeah. It was a very good loop.
I noticed this. I think this woman that they have as this old lady is not as old as she appears.
Yeah, I believe she was artificially aged through makeup.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's hilarious, though.
The eye wrinkles
seem
very fake.
She's very old in the
eye
wrinkles, but not as old on the rest of her face.
But she does have a very frightening way of shouting, I need Koopa coins.
She's very good at that. There's a very good frame of her face where she's just like, I need Koopa coins, you lame.
Yeah, all of her teeth, and it's very scary.
I would also like to once again praise the acting of Bob Hoskins in this minute. Mm-hmm. His reaction to getting shocked is fucking perfect. It made me laugh or at least smile every single time. He's very good.
It's very good.
So I think it's time for plugs. David, you go ahead and go first.
All right. There are three, count them, three podcasts that I do on the Benview Network. One of them is Midnight Marinera, which is a audio drama podcast involving original and classic short horror stories, creepypasta, if you will. That is on hiatus right now, but it is coming back this October for its next season. I also run the Undercooked Analysis podcast, which started out as a spinoff and then became its own thing, where we cold read creepypasta stories and analyze and joke our way through them. There's no script, no plan, no filters. And just recently, myself and my fiance, Kayla, we started a podcast called Animusings, which Andrew has been on, where we chronologically go through all of the Walt Disney animated features and just talk about the movies in depth.
And you can check out this show at bambunetwork.com/smbm. You can email us supermariobrosminute@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at mariobrosminute. And our Patreon, patreon.com/smbm. We've started releasing the our reviews and recaps of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes.
We got some other fun stuff planned coming up for the Patreon feed. You know, if you can just give a dollar, that's all you need to give, and you get access to all that.
Yeah.
And my personal Twitter and Instagram is @podcasterandrew.
My personal Twitter and Instagram is @verycoolemily. I also do Benview on Spielberg, which is a show where I talk about Steven Spielberg movies. That's on the Benview Network. And please, please, please rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as Andrew and Apple likes us to say.
Yes.
That really helps us out. That helps get the show, get the word out there, and, you know, tell your friends, tweet about it. #TrustTheFungus. That's the one we tend to use a lot. Mm-hmm.
And remember, trust the fungus.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rob.
And we're the hosts of Faux Boys, the podcast about Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants.
So, Aaron, what is Doughboys?
Doughboys is this podcast hosted by Nick Weiger and Mike Mitchell, who are two hilarious comedians, where they talk about chain restaurants every single week.
So wait, what's Faux Boys then?
Faux Boys is a podcast hosted by Aaron, Brendan, Brian, and Rob, four hilarious comedians who talk about Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants.
Are we going to go to the same chain restaurants that the Doughboys are going to?
I sure hope so, but if we don't, we're still going to record an episode.
Do they have chain restaurants in Canada?
Some of them.
So tune in to Faux Boys, the podcast about Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants, on BenviewNetwork.com. Every 2 weeks to listen to Faux Boys, the podcast about the podcast about chain restaurants.
Hey, does Feral Audio know we're doing this?
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.